bring a message to us. Thank you, Sam.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, the day has come. This is my last Sunday now with you guys. Whether you want to mourn or celebrate is up to you. But I notice there's cake, so maybe it's the latter. Who knows? But yeah, so I did my goodbye sermon a month ago, and I'm quite glad I did it that day. Not least because we were up through the night with Leo, bless him. And so I'm a little bit worse for wear today, and it also means that Anna and Leo aren't here. And it's also Anna's birthday today, so do spare a thought for her, bless her. But I kind of gave my parting farewell message a month ago, and gave you all the barrels I've got. But then the word that I've got this morning is carrying on this series on the armor of God, looking at the shoes of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith. And actually, to be honest, it's a pretty good one for a last Sunday. So let's pray that God will speak and that we'll hear his voice. So Father God, I thank you for the gift of your word, for the promise that you are here with us right now. And I ask that you would teach us, and you'd take the words that I say and make them yours to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've been looking at the armor of God, and I do want to recap a little bit of what we did last week. Now, last week, I didn't think would go very well, and it did. So now I'm pumped with confidence. Who was here last week? If you just pop your hand up for me. Okay, so I'm going to recap this very quickly, because I find this quite helpful. When looking at the armor of God, it's the last chapter, almost the final things that Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians. And sometimes when we read it, I think we read it like an appendix. He says all the important things, and then he tags on the end the armor of God. But the way to really understand it is this is a conclusion. It's like a summing up of everything that he's written before. And so he's explained in the first three chapters, kind of given the big story of the world to help us see what is the world like that we live in and the reality of spiritual warfare we're engaged in. And then he gives us instructions about how you walk out in the midst of that reality and the world that we're in. And then I would see each of these items of armor as summing up the instructions that he's been given. So if you remember last week, I'm not going to get people to do it again. Don't worry, Jethro, you're safe today. But if you remember, you'll have to turn around. But we started like this. We had Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the back here. And we talked about how right at the beginning of the Bible, God made us and he loved us. And we were, let's just do it again really quickly. Why don't you stand up together if you can? And we were standing up, looking at God, knowing his love. And in that place of relationship, face to face with God, we're alive, lively and happy. Can you look lively and happy? Excellent, lively and happy. Then the devil comes and he tempts us. And God had said, everything in the whole world is for you. I've given it as a blessing for you. Just don't eat from that one tree in the middle. And what does the devil do? He comes and he tempts and he says, did God really say that? Isn't he holding out on you? Wouldn't it be better if you just did it anyway? Don't you know that if you eat that fruit, you won't need him anymore? And doesn't it look good? And so they listened to the devil, they saw that the fruit looked good, and they turned their back on God, just like you've done already. Man, you did that without thinking, didn't you? Just like you've done already, turn their back on God. And God said, as soon as you take that fruit, you die. So would you please act like you're dead? There we go. That's a jolly way to start Sunday. You're spiritually dead. But we talked about how God didn't leave us there, but Jesus came from heaven to earth, stepped right into our mess and our rubbish, and he handed himself over to the devil, essentially. The Bible says that you become a slave to whoever you obey. And so when we turned around and obeyed the devil, we gave him authority over us, and we entered his kingdom, and a ransom had to be paid to set us free. We were guilty of turning from God. We owed a debt. A ransom had to be paid. Jesus came, handed himself over on the cross to the enemy. separated from God, paid the ransom, the debt that we couldn't pay. And the devil got to do his worst on Jesus. And then 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is now alive and seated at the right hand of God with all authority and power, King of kings over everything. And the gospel that we believe is this: the devil is a defeated foe. He has no authority over us other than the authority that we choose to give him. But the King of kings is Jesus, who is sitting on the throne. And what it means to be a Christian is that when you look this way, you see the cross of Jesus Christ and you come out to him and you say, I know that I've turned my back on God and I long for him. I know that I owe him my life. And so I come and with Jesus, I die on the cross. I accept what he has done for me and I receive the forgiveness he gives and I turn around. Repentance means to turn around. I turn around and now I live for God as a child of God, and I'm his. And then from chapter 4, Paul says, now live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. He begins to talk about walking. Walk out in your life the calling you've received. Because the Christian life is this. It is walking out of one kingdom into another. And it's walking to the moment where we're going to live face to face with God in eternity. And we are walking through the midst of the world. We are walking surrounded through the midst of people who do not yet know Jesus. And so Paul says, look, you need to walk. And he gives all this instruction about what it looks like to walk as the church to God. And he says this amazing thing. He says, the whole of God's purpose is this, that he's made you a church and a new humanity, a new creation, a new body, so that he can pour out his kindness in you, and in doing that will display his manifold wisdom. What he's saying is this, the whole world will see what Jesus has done by those who are living in his presence, and the kindness God is pouring out, and through the words and the lives of those who know him. And so he says, put on the armor of God. And we looked, the belt of truth. You need truth. You have to see right. See the world right. The breastplate of righteousness. You need to live right. When you see God where he is, the devil for who he is, the world for what it is, then you don't only see it right, but you live in line with what you see. And now he says, put on the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. And pick up the shield of faith. This is what we're looking at today. So what we're going to do now, just remember that context. Now we're going to have a competition. I thought on my last Sunday, why not introduce some friendly rivalry to bring division in the church? Isn't that good? So we're going to have a competition. I need to have 3 volunteers from this side and 3 volunteers from this side. And don't worry, it's not going to be as embarrassing as it was last week. Okay? It's going to be slightly, just marginally less embarrassing. So can I have 3 volunteers from either side, please? And these are going to be your champions. Yes, thank you, Mike. Can we have a round of applause for the champions coming up? Come on, guys. It's my last Sunday. Do me a favor. Susan, well done. You come on up. Otherwise, I'm going to have to pick on people. Do I need to pick on people? Oh, Maggie, Malcolm, well done. We need 2 more to represent this side. Who's going to come? Maggie's not on your side, Margaret. Margaret, you can come. Well done. Well done, Margaret. Yay! If you volunteer other people, you get volunteered yourself. There you go. Lovely. Right. We're going to have a competition, okay? And there's 3 rounds to this competition. And so, who wants to go first? Right. Maya and Susan. You guys go first, okay? So if you come and stand here. And then, here we go. I'm going to say, are you ready? Okay. Ready, steady, go! Go! What are you doing? Do you know what you're doing?
No.
You don't know what you're doing. Do you know what? Right here is a picture of the Christian life. Ah, got you. Right here is a picture of the Christian life. Paul is saying, don't just put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. You cannot be ready if you don't know what you're meant to be doing. Do you know what you are meant to be doing as a Christian?
Yes.
Do you know the whole purpose of your life as a Christian? Do you know what it is? It's to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you asked the question in spiritual warfare, why is there this defeated kingdom? If the devil's beaten and Jesus is king, why are we in the middle of this? What are you waiting for, God? The Bible's very clear. God is waiting in infinite patience because his desire is that all people would be saved. But Paul says, how will they be saved if they don't believe? How will they believe if they don't hear? And how will they hear if no one tells them? The whole point of your life, if you are a Christian, is to love God and worship him with everything and share the gospel. That is what you're alive for. Nothing else actually matters, and everything is shaped by that. So you guys, I'm going to tell you what you're meant to be doing. All right, here we go. You ready? We're going to run to the font. You ready? Okay, and the winner gets a lollipop. You up for it, guys? And just to say, I take no responsibility for health and safety. So, parents of Maya, there you go. Your fault. Right. 3, 2, 1, go! Here we go! Woo! There we go. That's a valiant effort. Well done, everyone. Right. Here we go. Get yourself one of those badges. Oh, there's a packet of Haribo in there. I didn't know that. I'll tell you what, Susan, you can have one if you want, just for the, you know, taking part. There we go. There we go. Well done. Right. That's round number one. Do you know why you're alive? It's to share the gospel. Do you know the definition of the whole point, the primary purpose of being a parent? Is to introduce your children to Jesus. The primary purpose of being an employee, wherever you work, is to introduce your colleagues to Jesus. The primary purpose of being a manager, wherever you manage, is to introduce your colleagues to Jesus. The primary purpose of being a friend, a town council member, being in this community, is to introduce the people around you to Jesus. If you knew the cure for cancer, you would shout it from the rooftops. That is a terrible but a temporary illness. The truth of the gospel is this: Jesus is king. He has paid everything that we need, and one day he's coming back. And on that day when he comes back, never mind the weekend away, well, weekend at home being like a thief in the night. The day of the coming of Jesus Christ is like a thief in the night, and there will be judgment. And what you have chosen in this life, if you have chosen to be with Jesus in this life, you will be with him for eternity. If you have not chosen to be with Jesus in this life, you will not be with him for eternity. And how will people know how to make the choice? Because the people who know Jesus introduce others to him. That is the whole purpose why we're alive. That's it. Now, what are the things that get in the way? Why is it that we don't share the gospel? Here's the next one. Okay, so Malcolm and Sally, you ready? Well, you can do a walking race. Let's do this, a walking race. So you guys now know what you need to do. You just have to get to the font first. But here's one of the issues that happens, is that sometimes we end up carrying a bit of baggage with us. So Malcolm, if you just pop a little foot through there, well done. I wouldn't have gone for that one personally, but there you go. Chip yourself up. Maybe put that through there. Now then, are you feeling good about this? You're feeling ready? Ladies first. Here we go. So do you want me right now to say ready, steady, go? Yeah, that's it. Right, ready, steady, go. Okay, now don't trip over. Oh. Right. Oh, look at this. Sally's going to win. Yeah, come on. Well done. Look at that. That's beautiful. I'm going to give that to Sally just because I've got the microphone, so that's my power. Here we go. So, you don't want a lollipop. Do you want a packet of Haribo's or Chew It Sweet? Here we go. Right, you can give yours to someone else then. Do you want to find someone who would like one? Here we go. Right, here we go. So, one of the biggest things that stops us sharing the gospel is that we're not living in it. What are the things that you're carrying with you? I think today, do you know what? We get a bit shy about sharing the gospel. We get a bit worried about it. We get a bit anxious about it. We think, oh, we're not meant to do that. People are going to get offended. Things are going to go wrong. You're not really meant to tell people about Jesus. It's not really okay nowadays to believe there is a right and wrong. There's a truth and a not truth. There's a heaven and a hell. There's a judgment coming. There's a savior who has saved us. We don't think that we can actually share these things. I think so often that anxiety, that doubt, that concern, masked as it is in a desire to be kind and loving, actually comes because we are not fully experiencing the reality of the gospel. We have not fully understood it. Maybe one day, 5, 10, 20 years ago, we met Jesus and we knew we're forgiven and we're on fire with it. And there's this almost cliche thing that when people are first Christians, then they tell people about Jesus, but then you mature out of it. That is not maturity, that is fear. And often what happens is that we experience it and then we forget. And we were running head first, eyes locked on God. We knew the prize and we were going and we were sharing and speaking and we were proud of Jesus. We were proud to be a Christian. We were glad that we had a message to tell. And then we begin to forget and we begin to drift. And we think, oh no, other things are more important actually. My reputation at work is actually quite important. How people perceive me. Whether I'm really coming alongside properly this person or not is really important. And actually, there's other things that I'm meant to do, not just sharing Jesus. There's other things that are important. Do you know what? There are loads and loads of things that are good. It is really good to give your kids good birthdays. It's really good to provide for your family. It's really good to be an honoring and a hardworking and a persevering employee. Those things are really, really good. They're important. Do you know why? Because they reflect the love of God, which you discover in the gospel. Because they give you integrity and character so that people will listen when you share the gospel. Everything we do, all of our lives, the reason that we live, we put on this armor and we walk according to the calling we've received, is so that people get to hear the gospel. Get to know Jesus. How dare we know him and not tell others? How dare we? How can we? Unless we do not fully know him. And I would just suggest to you this morning, if you are worried or concerned about sharing the gospel, come to Jesus and ask him, Lord, have I drifted? Have I forgotten the truth of this? Is there something I'm living in and holding on to that I see as more important than you? Or do I just not actually know what to say and how to say it? Come to him and ask. Ask people that you trust. And you can learn how to share the gospel. You can tell your story of what Jesus has done. You can be forgiven right now. Turn around right now. And it can be just like it was on that first day. Right now, today. But will you do it? The third thing is this. Right, now for this one. Okay, here we go. For this one, I'm going to introduce a little role for people on either side. All right? This is quite quick, don't you worry. You can have one of those, buddy. You could take... Choose your weapon. Who wants to do one? You can do one. Do you want one of these, Dorothy? Here you go. I need to do some a bit further back. You gentlemen, here we go. Now, right. If these are the things on the inside that get in the way, there are also, Paul says, things on the outside. So this is where we move to the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith that guards you from the darts of the evil one. Right. Thank you for waiting so patiently. Okay, it's currently 1-1. So this is the deciding game. All right, you ready? So if you stand on your marks here, which are these lines, there we go. And what you need to do is to get to the font without being hit by an inflatable. Are you ready? Here we go. 3... That's the only rule. That's the only rule. You're fine, Susan. Right. 3, 2, 1, go! Oh! Wonderful. I think, who knows, look at this. Abundant grace. I think you all got hit, but there you go. What did you need to not get hit? A different route. There we go. Could do that, but that would be a different sermon. And a shield would be good. There we go. Pretty obvious. But that's the thing. There are things. There are things that come. There are things on the inside we need to sort out. But there are also things that constantly come from outside. You know, some of the accusation that comes in our mind, some of the condemnation that comes, some of the fear that comes, some of the kind of twisting, the doubt that comes, isn't actually so much because there's stuff inside us that isn't dealt with, but it's just that outside, that's the message we're getting all the time. We live in a very secular society. We live in a society where it is not okay to talk about sin, to talk about heaven and hell and judgment, to talk about the gospel, to talk about Jesus. It's not okay if by talking about that you're saying it might apply to someone that's not yourself. Which we do. We say it's true. That's not okay. We also live, and often what happens is things come in our head that bring condemnation and accusation and fear that make us kind of fall down. You know, often thoughts come in our mind from all over the place. Sometimes from the enemy, sometimes from media, sometimes from people around us, sometimes from a memory 25 years ago. And it comes in our head, and often the thought comes in. And the key thing to know is that when a thought like that comes in, the thought itself is not sin. It's what you do with it. And we need to be able to identify what is Christ, what is not, what is true, what is not. If it brings life, if it brings grace, if it makes you fall in love with God, if it gives you courage, it comes from Jesus. If it condemns you, if it accuses you, if it makes you hide, if it brings fear and doubt, it comes from the enemy. You take in the stuff from Jesus and you throw away the stuff from the enemy. And that's where the shield of faith comes in. We hold up faith. What is faith? Faith is saying, even when I don't understand, I trust. And I will not stop. Even when I don't understand because this thought and that thought and the other things in my head, still I will trust you and I will walk to you and I will talk about you and I will love you. Still I will do it. And sometimes, Jonathan, on the first week we did this, talked about how the shield of faith isn't just an individual thing. This armor is something we do corporately. Sometimes we need one another. I think our runners probably needed some people to line the way, hold up the shield for them. And sometimes we've got stuff going on and we just have to come to people and say, look, I'm really struggling with this. Don't know where it's coming from, don't know what it is, but I need someone to stand with me, pray for me, speak truth to me, and point me to him so I will keep on trusting. So I want to pick up the armor. I want to pick up the shield of faith. So the last thing I want to say, and I don't know how long I've preached for, sorry about that, mate. We're going to take communion in a moment. But I guess this is my parting shot to you. You know, part of the reason we're doing what we're doing is because we believe that we're alive to share the gospel. And there's a new town being built. We have no idea who's going to live there. But we know there's no church yet. Someone has to be there to share the gospel. Not saying we've got a monopoly on that. I'm praying there will be lots of other people, different denominations and things will come and partner with us. And we could partner with them. But we're going because we believe that more important than a comfortable life, than steadiness for our children, than being with a strong, supporting, loving church family, more important than steady income, more important than any of that, is that we live our life walking to God, sharing the gospel. That's it. And so my prayer for you, and I'd ask you to pray it for me, is that we would all of us have courage to share the gospel, whatever we're doing and whatever we do. That when there's something getting in the way that would hold us back on the inside, that we would come back to Jesus and rediscover the gospel again. And that we would be a church family who stand alongside one another so that when someone is struggling, when you hear in the things they're saying, you can see in the language they're speaking, you can see that the fire's died down, that we are those who lift up the shield of faith and say, look, just ignore all that for a moment. Remember him. Remember him and who you are in him. I ask that you'd pray that for us, and we're going to pray that for you. Amen.